Listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, Alan here. Another big show today. Had a chat with John Waters. He's doing this massive show, Looking Through the Onion Glass, this John Lennon tribute. Had a chat with him all about that. Ken as well from the St. John Ambulance, all about what Donnybrook's doing to change and save some lives. Also from Survivor, had a chat to the latest eliminated contestant, Jackie. She is a poker player. She pretended not to be. It was a very funny chat. Also, we had a chat with Anne from the Margaret River Chocolate Company. We're talking all things about their chocolate entries into the Perth Raw Show. Some bizarre flavors, but really, really cool. You can actually check out the full video of a couple of the girls here in the office trying them. The video is very funny. They enjoy it quite a lot. I feel like I made a lot of people happy today. Also, on top of that, we'll throw a few little goodies. Just look out for that. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the catch up. I dropped my pen. Whoops. I got Kate from Harvey on the line. Hello, Kate.
You going out?
I am doing well. Geez, $2,925. It's getting up there. Here's the sound. What do you think it is?
Okay, I've got two thoughts. My sister's going to kill me because I'm going to go with mine. is it dropping your wallet inside the big orange?
Dropping my wallet inside the big orange for $2,925. Can you hear me smiling?
Ew.
I'm not smiling because it's right, but unfortunately, I'm smiling because it's so close. Oh, Kate! So close. You're going to have to try again tomorrow, and hopefully your sister's answer isn't the right one.
So
close. Thanks very much, Kate.
Yeah.
Kate from Harvey there. Oh, we're doing it again tomorrow. $2,950. I got a bet running behind the scenes here in the office saying that it won't hit $3,000. With guesses like that, it just might not. 13:27:10 tomorrow when we do it again. Oh, so close. 8 o'clock news up for you. I'll tell you, one guy really quick in America decided to make off with a whole bunch of one particular product. What's weird, and the reason why I'm talking about it right now, is the product that he stole and the quantity of how much he stole of it. 360 kilos of it, to be precise, as he stole 360 kilos of, wait for it, lemons. Lemon, why? 360 kilos of lemons. He was arrested by police. His car was fully loaded. I assume that there was just no room for him to even drive with 360 kilos. And I have questions. I have so many questions, and I don't think the police have done a very good job here because they haven't answered a single one. They've managed to arrest him, so that's good and all. But I want to know what he was going to do with those lemons. Was he planning a gigantic tequila party and he wanted lemon wedges for that? Did he want, I don't know, was he going to make a giant glass of lemonade? Were we going to see some kind of lemon cheesecake in the works? A world record attempt, maybe? I have so many questions, and I'm disappointed that none of them have been answered. But that's a lot of lemons. What? Why would you steal that many? Absolute idiot. Notice lemon tree under while I was talking as well. Just subtle little joke there. Is still going on Win, and geez, it's been getting pretty heated. And last night, unfortunately for Jackie, she was sent home. I now have her on the line. Good morning, how are you?
Hey, Alan, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am doing well. Congratulations on making it as far as you did in Survivor. You were definitely there to play.
I was definitely there to play. I mean, when you're thrown on a tribe with such physical threats, you know, I had to rely on my game outside of those actual challenges. And, yeah, I played hard. I played to win.
Yeah, you definitely were. Before you even went to the island, you decided you were going to be a Rubik's Cube champion as opposed to what you really were, a professional poker player. When did you decide that you were going to make that choice and not reveal what you actually were?
Yeah, I think going in as a poker player, unfortunately, was just always going to make people suspicious of me. You know, am I lying? Am I looking in their eyes, reading them? You know, I just think it was not going to go down that well. And then I was trying to think of what I could come up with that, you know, would make me a champion, but, you know, no one would recognize me. You know, yep. I couldn't really go in saying, you know, I was anything that people would go, no, you're not. So yep. I thought about a chess player, and then I was like, oh, some people might know about chess. And then the Rubik's Cube just came to me, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to say I'll play with that.
Yeah, I've actually chatted to a few Rubik's Cube champions in all seriousness, and you were pretty spot on with your stories. You must have done some good research.
Yeah, I did a heap of research before I went in. The actual world champion is from Melbourne, a guy here, I think his name is Felix, and yep. I knew his time, and so I just made my time outside of that.
Yeah.
And just pretty much said I was Australia's fastest speed cuber, but I never went in there saying I was a world champion or anything like that. I told him I did copywriting on the side, which also doesn't attract a lot of questions either. So.
Yeah. And one of my favourite moments was when you guys, the champions, won one of the challenges. You got to go to a pub and they had pictures up all on the wall, and there was one with you with a Rubik's Cube. Man, that must have been really hard for you not to just lose it laughing.
I know, because I walked in there and I was like, oh, God, that's, like, so bad. What am I going to say? And then they actually didn't show what I said, but I was pretty much just said, look, I don't know where they got that picture from, but it's definitely not during a competition because, you know, I would never smile during a competition because I'm concentrating too hard.
Yeah.
So, and then just brushed over it like that, and then I was like, phew. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, talk me through the champions. Who do we like to win the whole thing?
I would love Brian to win the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, we got along really well, and pretty much he had my back the whole time. And it's just nice when you're out there, you know, and you're playing and you're away from home and you don't know who to trust. When you have someone out there that you connect with and you get along with, you know, definitely he's who I want to win.
Yeah, and he looks like he's bringing a little bit of fun to the team as well.
Yes, he's probably, our personalities are probably a little bit similar. We just got along well, and there wasn't a day that went by that he didn't make me laugh.
Yeah, okay. How genuinely were you surprised when you actually got eliminated last night?
Oh, look, to be honest, every tribal council I knew that I was kind of on the chopping block. It was always going to be tough for me to navigate my way through that champions tribe. But I was really hoping that we would stick to getting rid of one of the contenders. But I wasn't overly surprised.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, thank you very much for the chat today. And good luck with your poker.
Thanks, Alan.
See ya. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Jackie there from Survivor. Sent home last night. Survivor does continue again on Win tonight. And when I'm in Margaret River, there's only one place, there's lots of places I like to go, let's be honest, but one place I really love to go to is the Margaret River Chocolate Factory, and I have a chocolatier on the line. Anne, how are you this morning?
I'm very good, Alan. How are you doing?
I am well. Last time I visited you, you gave me a goodie bag of all the different chocolates you were going to be entering into the Perth Royal Show. You guys are very successful in the past.
Yeah, we've been very lucky, but it's really a team effort. We've managed to bring together all the people, including the owners, managers, packers, cleaners, chefs, chocolatiers, and just try and extract the best out of everyone's ideas. And because we're so passionate about chocolate down here, like, it's just our obsession. So it's just really wonderful that we're able to bring everything together, the whole team, to create these amazing, unusual flavours.
Well, let's talk about the unusual flavours. You did put a whole lot in the bag for me to try later on this morning. What have we got in here?
We've got I've a lot of favourites in there, but my personal favourite would be the Campari Marmalade Truffle. It's a dark chocolate ganache in a dark chocolate shell. And it's just the bitterness of the Campari with our Providore marmalade. The two of those combined together just create this amazing truffle that's just bitter and yet just wonderful flavour combination. There's also a really unusual one, which was inspired by our chef in Providore. And that was the white miso.
Wow.
And sesame. And, oh, my God, when you bite into it, just the saltiness of the miso with the chocolate, it's mind-blowing. So hopefully our customers will get to enjoy them soon.
Yeah. Yeah, miso. I'm looking forward to giving it a crack. It's something a bit different. Yes. I also noticed, was it peppermint milkshake?
Yes, spearmint milkshake. It was something we were just playing around with, having a bit of fun. Thought everyone likes a spearmint milkshake, and then to make that into a chocolate bar, and then everybody just that tasted it here just went crazy for it. So, very unusual, and I think it's a winner.
Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully it is a winner at this year's Perth Royal Show. I'd love to get a few awards here for the Margaret River Chocolate Factory. Now, while I'm chatting to you as well, you guys are doing a whole lot of classes for kids and adults.
Yeah, that's right. We're trying to gear our classes initially for children, but we're gearing it more towards adults into the future. But I mean, the kids just love coming in, getting their hands dirty, making some kangaroos and koalas and decorating a freckle. And I give them a bit of history about chocolate production, and you know, a bit about the cocoa and where it comes from and how we come up with the end product. So yeah, it's really, really good fun to pass that skill on to little children and to adults also.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to have to get down there and give one of these classes a shot at some point. And thank you so much for the chat, and good luck with the Royal Show, okay?
Oh, thanks so much, Alan. Thank you.
No problem at all. And we're going to try these next. Look out on Facebook Live. And in the studio from St. John Ambulance WA. Good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Alan. Great to be here.
We're going to talk about this for half a second. This is a very ambitious goal of you guys. I love it. Look out Donnybrook and bailing up, basically.
Yes, we have a very lofty project ahead of us. On the 3rd of September, we kick off Staying Alive in the Shire in the Donnybrook Bailing Up Shire, where we hope, and I think we will, attract 4,200 residents of the Shire to learn how to use an automated external defibrillator, an AED, and couple that up with a bit of CPR.
What does the training actually entail?
It's an hour-long session. It's just 20 to 30 minutes of instruction on how to use an AED and then have a bit of CPR practice using that AED. So it shows you how to apply this AED to a sudden cardiac arrest out in the community. So someone that's unconscious, not breathing, if we place an AED on them, we've got a pretty good chance of getting them back. So it's just teaching the people in the Shire how to use it and how to have good outcomes in their community.
Yeah, they're not very big, are they? You just got one in the studio now.
No, they're tiny. And they're so easy to use, Al.
Yeah.
They are very instructive. As soon as you open up the pack, they turn themselves on. That's how easy they are. So they know as soon as you open up the pack that that you want to use them. And thereafter, they're instructive. There's the pads to put on, and they have very clear diagrams on the back about where to place them. Once they are on, the unit itself looks at the activity of the heart inside the chest and then decides whether it's appropriate to deliver a shock. And then it'll tell you to do that by simply flashing the orange button here on the unit.
Wow.
And you press that, and it'll again assess what's going on inside the chest and the electrical activity on the heart and decide whether it's okay to stop CPR or to continue.
Yeah.
And we'll do that every 2 minutes.
Wow, technology's really come a long way, hasn't it? Jeez.
Oh, they are so simple to use, these units. And that's the thing. I don't think the news is out there about how easy these are to use.
Yeah.
So the Donnybrook Subcentre want to buy another 30 of these for their Shire. There's nine at present. So, of course, if we're going to roll out such a significant number of AEDs, we need to teach the community that they're easy to use and tell them where they are.
Yeah, especially, yeah, another 30 of them. That's really good. So you're going to be doing that in a couple of ways. Are you launching it on Monday, this Monday coming up?
Yes, September the 3rd at 11 o'clock in Ayres Gardens, opposite the Bendigo Bank in Donnybrook, in front of the Tourist Bureau. We've invited 160 community groups to come along. Obviously, all the emergency services will be there, and St John Ambulance in good force, of course. And we have kids from St Mary's Primary School and the Donnybrook High School as well, who will be there doing the demonstrations on the day about how to actually use the AEDs, and that's how easy they are. Even kids can use them.
That's great. And then you're going to have sessions running weekly from September 8th from the Donnybrook Town Hall as well.
Yeah, we're going to run four big town hall events, if you like, during the 3 months of the project. Three of those will be in Donnybrook, and one will be at the Bailing Up, either the Town Hall or the Recreation Centre. We're going to see how registrations go about where we actually hold the one in Bailing Up. So there's four big town hall days where there's three sessions in each of those days. And outside of that, we have 40 sessions during the 3 months at the Donnybrook Subcentre, and they'll be on Tuesdays and Thursdays, late afternoon and early evening, so people can fit it around school time and sports practice. And we also offer a roaming capacity, if you like, where myself and some of the other people from the Donnybrook Subcentre can go to the community groups or go to the workplace if they're unable to make those sessions. So we're really getting behind it and trying to facilitate as much of the training as we can.
Absolutely. So, that's great. And if people want more information, where's the best place to go?
Simply just Google Staying Alive in the Shire, and that will direct you to our Eventbrite registration site where all those sessions will be up and available. And there's a contact number and an email address for Sarah, our training coordinator for the project. And Sarah will be able to facilitate any of those roaming sessions that anybody needs.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the chat today, mate. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Alan. I look forward to seeing you and your crew at one of the sessions.
Absolutely.